If you've visited the hospital lately, you may well have seen Braddon Parish Commissioner's magnificent new community hub, which has emerged in all its glory. Close followers of Manx politics may also have noticed the rather large 37% increase in Braddon's rates, part of which will be used to cover the costs of the new hub. There's also a rather embarrassing public spat developing between Braddon commissioners and the Health Department over site access. Perspective this week visits the roundhouse and tries to add more detail to the alarming headlines. First up, Health Department member Michelle Haywood, MHK.
It is fair to say that there's a bit of a spat developed between Braddon Parish Commissioners and your department.
That's probably a fair summary to say that we've got a bit of an impasse at the moment.
And what's happened? Because it seems, if Braddon Commissioners are to be believed, that there was some form of agreement that they could use the access road to the hospital, but this no longer appears to be the case.
There was a letter from the then minister that went to planning to support the development when it was there, when it was proposed, and that was as far as we can track that there was anything done. However, when they started speaking to the department about it currently, we spoke with Manx Care and asked them to do a risk assessment on what happens if you put that amount of traffic across what is a very narrow road with no footpaths and no proper lighting on it, and what impact that would have on the operations of the hospital. And it's quite clear from the work that Manx Care have done in looking at traffic flows that it would actually stop ambulances getting to A&E. So we consider that to be quite a serious risk. The roads on the hospital site are not public roads, they're private roads that belong to the hospital site. And there were always plans drifting around. In fact, we've offered them the land to put in an access road coming off onto the side of the site so that they don't have to interfere with the hospital operation.
So an option is available then. Why would Braddon Commissioners not want to take that option up, do you think?
It probably comes down to money. This project has obviously run over time, over budget. It's not currently open and operating, so they're not getting any income from it. And I think it's clear from their rate rise this year that they're under severe financial pressure, and this is probably just adding to that pressure.
Is it possible that some form of compromise, at least short-term solution, can be found to allow the Braddon Commissioners to at least begin operation, provided maybe there's a clear understanding that they do create an alternative access point?
I think the danger there is there's nothing as long-term as a short-term fix, is there? And if we've assessed that there's a risk to people not being able to get in to access vital services at Nobles Hospital, that risk persists whether it's just for a month or a year or whatever. It all you'll do is start affecting more and more people. So I personally would be against finding any short-term fix that does that. The actual fix is to create a proper access for it and to put in the pedestrian access that was in the plans as well. And those things are what they need to do to get that building open properly.
So how, I mean, it does, there are plenty of public projects that you have to scratch your head and wonder how and why. This does seem to be one of those. If the minister was prepared to put in a letter of support, presumably it was the previous minister, would they not have thought to put in or to have undertaken some kind of risk assessment at that point?
Well, yeah, obviously when planning goes in, Highways are obviously a statutory consultee on that as well. The car park was planned to be larger than it is. There's not enough spaces there, so we're worried about the impact on Palatine Health Centre and their car parking facilities, and then people being able to access that health centre. But yeah, it was a former minister that just expressed support, but I don't think it had really been thought through what he was supporting, and certainly none of the risk assessments have been done.
And can you see, maybe from Braddon Parish Commissioner's point of view, that they would have seen a letter of support from the minister as, you know, the green light that, yes, the minister was behind this and the department was behind this?
I can see why they thought that, but actually they won't have thought that, because this has been on the department's radar now for well over a year, probably near a year and a half. So they have known for much longer than the last few weeks, which is where it's obviously hit the media. They've known what the issue is for quite a while now, that we had real concerns over letting them have access through the hospital site. That road is not in good condition anyway. It's obviously not a highway, so we can't even throw it at DOI and say, improve the condition of this road. It's a private road on the hospital site.
I had a tour of the building with long-standing Braddon Commissioner Andrew Jessop, and I must say, it's very impressive.
Well, we are in what will eventually be a 100-cover cafe, so it will be the usual sort of cafe ambience during the day, and there's an opportunity for the tenant to actually hold sort of, run it like a bit of a restaurant in the evenings if they want. Then, as you can see, you can and I can, but obviously we got this glazed area to the front that overlooks a children's play area, and then fantastic views towards the south. So, it's a bit of a sun trap. So in the summer, it will be, a glorious place to come and relax and chat and do business or whatever.
And we're now in the sports hall. It's very impressive.
Well, we've had an awful lot of compliments from the users that have already made use of the hall, whether they're volleyball, badminton. Obviously, there's loads of youngsters coming in to play football. So, we've been inundated with people wanting to make bookings. So, yes, all these people that are saying, why did we build a sports hall when there's the NSC just down the road? Well, they only have to come and see how many people are using our facility already.
And the clubs, presumably, that are booking here are clubs that couldn't find space at the NSC?
Yeah, well, we've heard of clubs actually training in farmers' barns because they couldn't get access to other facilities in the east. So, we are not taking or in competition directly with the NSC. We are, taking some of their overflow, and also providing for additional sports as we go along.
And where have we got to now?
Well, we're next to the soft play area, which is going to be for sort of toddlers more than sort of grown-up children. And this area is adjacent to the cafe, so if mum's sort of having a cup of coffee and a chat with her friends, she knows that, in safe viewing distance, her kid could be sort of in there having a good fun and play around with a load of other kids in safe and nurturing environment.
And then across from here, there's more stuff. I mean, there's just so many bits and pieces to this place, isn't there?
Yeah, well, we have the beauticians to the right, and then there's going to be therapy rooms. There's the entrance to what will be the pharmacy, which obviously, as far as Palatine next door, and obviously from a dispensing point, you can get a prescription given to you in the hospital, but you have to go to somewhere else to go and get it prescribed. So people can literally walk out of the door at the hospital and come, 5 minutes down the road, and they're in to the pharmacy here at the roundhouse. We did a value engineering exercise before we started work, and one of the areas that sort of lost out in that exercise was the rotunda, and effectively 2 metres was taken out of the centre of the building. So although, you can see that we have quite a nice space in here, it was going to be a lot bigger than it is now.
And it's not just here. There were other parts of the building that have reduced in size, are there?
Yeah, the whole massing of the building has been changed. It's a little bit more compact, and it's been moved a little bit further away from Harold Cottage, so giving them a little bit more privacy. So, yes, it's not as though we just threw money willy-nilly at this. We did seriously think about it throughout the whole process as to how we could actually make sure that this represented best value for money for the ratepayer, but still produced a fantastic facility for the future. We all know how difficult it is at times to get a dentist. Yeah, it would be fantastic if the dentist here was both private and available to NHS patients. Yeah, well, we have the rotunda, which we are able to use as our meeting room for board meetings if we're expecting a large audience. But it's also available for hire for people to hold their own meetings. We've already had quite a few people booking it for things like Pilates or yoga for people. And, you know, there will be a possibility in the future for weddings and other sort of small conferences. Then adjacent to the Rotunda, we have the Baby Century Hub, which has been inundated by people since it's been opened. It's been very popular. And next door to that, there's the gym. And, you know, we had, I believe, you know, 300 inquiries just from the hospital alone from people. So, you know, one of the things that we've always said about this place is it's going to provide not only a fantastic facility for the people of Braddon, but for the biggest employer on the Isle of Man, which is the hospital right on its doorstep.
The manager and the owner of the prospective new nursery at the Roundhouse spoke to me about how these delays will affect their business.
We're here actually in what is to be the new nursery, but still some work to do to get the whole thing up and running.
Yes, unfortunately it is. We expected to be actually open and running from February. Unfortunately now, with this delayed road blockage, it could mean up to a year that we're able to get up and running, which is really bad for parents. They're desperate to get in. They're at a crisis point where they can't get back to work. Their finances are impacted, and also the children's educational journey as well. So it's a real, real blow.
The building that we're in here, and certainly the premises that you have, I mean, it's a wonderful purpose-built nursery, effectively, isn't it?
It is. It's amazing. We're so excited to actually get in here and to be up and running. It's a wonderful nursery for the children. It's all on one level. It's got lovely outdoor garden, beautiful big spacious rooms. And yeah, it's absolutely lovely. It's more than we could have asked for.
And trying to understand a bit more about it for people who maybe driven past and saw the roundhouse bit from which the building gets its name. It's an enormous building, isn't it? And there's an awful lot more than just this nursery in that building.
Yes, there's lots of other businesses, and they're not just new businesses, they're extensions of previous businesses. So you've got the Baby Sensory Hub, you've got the Sports Hall. The Sports Hall is actually offered sports teams from the NSC that couldn't get a regular slot, a permanent position. So it's actually really beneficial for the community, and that may have to come to a stop.
It's hard really to understand, and certainly having already spoken, we heard from health member Michelle Haywood, it's hard to understand how we could have got to this point.
Yes, it is. It's a shock for us all, but I do feel that there isn't enough clarity around how we actually got to this point. So in the media, it seems to be all spun towards Braddon commissioners. But really, when you look back at the planning in 2016, there was the Brown Hall report, and there was also a letter from Howard Quayle, all fully supportive of this build. So when you look at that, you do ask yourself, the planning application was based on this support. Why is it now being withdrawn? I think what a lot of people don't realise is that it's all down to this access road. Why didn't Braddon commissioners build the road? But we can't build something that we don't own. So the land that is being given to them hasn't actually been transferred yet. So why hasn't it been transferred? You can't build something if you don't have anything to begin with.
Indeed. And in terms of the impact, I mean, presumably it's not just your business. There must be lots of businesses that are going to be impacted by this. But from your own business, I mean, not opening in February, you still have costs that you have to meet, and places that you are unable to supply for parents who are looking to get their children into a nursery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. We've really kitted this place out. We see it as a nursery of the future. We have added so many extra design elements into it to make sure that it's a really lovely educational space for the children, but also for the staff to work here. We're very experienced in this area. We know what nurseries need to run smoothly. And so we've gone to a lot of additional cost to make it the nursery that it should be. And unfortunately, if it doesn't get up and running soon,
it is going to have a terrible impact.
That was the owner and the manager of the new nursery at the Roundhouse. There'll be a lot more from Braddon Commissioner's Chair Andrew Jessop after the break, when we explore the politics of the development in much more detail. You're listening to Perspective, and we're talking to Braddon Commissioner's Chair Andrew Jessop.
So I was always well aware of the fact that the land at the Strand Cornerfield had been promised to the commissioners for the purposes of community facilities. So as, in fact, part of my manifesto in 2004 was that we ought to use the land that we'd been offered to provide the community facility that it was being provided for. So we then went to draw up a scheme in 2005. We got to the petition stage. The proposal was something along similar lines to what we've got here today. But even from that day, it was known that the only way to access this site was using hospital roads. And an agreement in principle was arrived at that time that that's the way that we would get into the site.
Agreement in principle, back in, when are you saying now?
Back in 2005.
Okay, so move on 19 years. How has an agreement in principle not moved any further than that?
Well, we obviously made a planning application for the development that's proceeded in 2016. And as part of the planning application, the then Minister for Health, Howard Quayle, wrote a letter to the planners to say that they fully supported the Commissioner's proposal without reservation, and that access to the site would be through the hospital grounds. Therefore, obviously, we relied on that for the purposes of designing and moving ahead with the project. If we hadn't had, you know, access to the site or that agreement, then obviously we wouldn't have started building. And obviously we're talking about large sums of public money, and there's no way that anybody would have committed themselves to such a project if they didn't feel as though they had the necessary approvals for access to the site.
We'll come back to that, but let's stick to the ambition, because this is a very ambitious project, isn't it?
It is, but when you consider that we have a current government who wishes to expand the population and also retain the people that we've already got, then this is the type of facility that, you know, the island plan is calling for. Certainly, you know, in all the discussions that we've had as commissioners about what type of facility we wanted, not only was it supposed to be, you know, for all the people of Braddon, and it, you know, sort of multi-generational, you know, we always wanted everybody from effectively cradle to grave to be able to find something that they could actually make use of here. It was always, you know, in the back of our mind that, again, you know, this site is right next door to one of the most critical bits of infrastructure in the whole of the Isle of Man, which is our hospital. And we're always, you know, talking about wanting to have, you know, the best possible medical care for the people in the Isle of Man. And that means you have the best possible people. And in order to try and attract those people and also to retain those people, you know, they need to have some reason other than their job to come to the Isle of Man. And therefore, you know, having this facility, and we've been told this by quite a number of people from Manx Carer, you know, and working within the hospital environment, you know, this is one of the things that has been, you know, most, you know, anticipated by them for the last 2, 3, 4 years. You know, that they're really excited about the fact that they're going to have this fantastic facility on their doorstep with all the varied different types of facility. You know, and we've got the housing for the doctors and nurses next door. So they've got a literally, you know, 2-minute walk to a facility that we provided. So yes, it was ambitious, but we never felt it was over ambitious. And you know, there are some people, you know, saying that we've built a white elephant and why have we spent all this money, you know. Well, we had to obviously put a business case together. You know, it wasn't just a case of convincing ourselves this was a good idea and a good project and it made sense financially. We also had to persuade the Department, you know, of Infrastructure and the Treasury. You know, so we've had to do that on more than one occasion, and they've obviously felt themselves that we've made a good enough case to actually warrant them supporting the project as we've gone along.
And indeed, I remember as Infrastructure Minister back in 2016, quizzing the commissioners over this and asking quite some, well, I would hope anyway, searching questions about why the commissioners felt this was necessary and how it was all going to work. So that is perhaps a part of local government that many listeners wouldn't really understand. But the process for a local authority to borrow money is quite an elaborate one and requires a lot of central government scrutiny.
Yeah, you know, it's a robust and rigorous system, as you say, of scrutiny. So, you know, it wasn't as though the figures, etc., were done on the back of a fact packet. You know, we had to put, you know, a lot of time and effort into coming up with how much it was going to cost, how much we felt that we could generate in terms of income. And we were, you know, in our mind, we were very conservative in what we thought that we could actually raise in income. But at the same time, you know, we never wanted this to be a burden on the ratepayer. Yes, you know, there will be a contribution to the cost of running it. However, you know, it was never our intention to actually, you know, make this a what has turned out in the last year to be, you know, rather a contentious subject in terms of our rate setting for the next year or so.
You've certainly hit the headlines when it comes to rate setting, haven't you?
Yeah, we have, but what might interest people, those people that are complaining that we've increased our rates by the best part of 37%, in a meeting recently with the Minister for Treasury, Health and Infrastructure, we were actually told that we should have doubled our rates for next year. So, you know, we feel that 37%, you know, that was more than sufficient for what we felt at the time was needed. But again, it was one hell of a shock to us to be told that we should have known that we were going to be potentially in a position where we would have no income because of the situation over the access, and we should have passed that cost on to the ratepayers next year. But you know, I find that difficult to justify.
So effectively, because I had perhaps maybe unwisely that it appears assumed that the 37% increase in rates was as a result of this little spat with government, and you recognising that you weren't going to get quite as much income as you originally anticipated. But this is the lost income that's likely to result if an agreement can't be reached. That hasn't been part of the budget setting rate setting for this year.
We've made some provision, but we obviously felt that the negotiations we were having with Manx Care, as opposed to with the department, were proceeding well, and that we would get to a position whereby we would satisfy any concerns from Manx Care in terms of access and egress from the site without causing any undue problems for the emergency, you know, some of the ambulance service. And we've done that by obviously coming through West Drive off Ballarotes Road rather than from the main entrance, so we don't cross the route of the ambulance. That was one thing. And we've also been working closely with, you know, hospital estates to address some of the concerns about pedestrian access and vehicle access to the site. So, yeah, we thought that we were moving towards, you know, a satisfactory resolution of these problems, and that the objections to using the roadway would be removed, and we would be, as I say, fully operational by Easter. At the moment, we're still in that bit of limbo, because we obviously currently still have that threat of our access being blocked by some means or other from the 4th of March.
And as we've already seen from the tour of the building, you already have tenants operating in the building, and you have prospective tenants keen to operate. And perhaps I shouldn't have said tenant, because you can't give tenancy agreements at the moment. You're giving licences, I think.
Yeah, that's been the way for those that felt that they could operate without having vehicle access, was to offer them in the interim a licence to operate. However, yes, there are issues with two of the main potential tenants, in that they also one in particular needs the tenancy arrangement in order to get registration for their business, and that obviously is at the moment, you know, a difficult situation for them to be in, and yeah, obviously we feel as though we're doing everything that we can to improve the situation so that we can offer them the tenancies. You know, we have, in our opinion, we're the ones that have bent over backwards. We've agreed to expend ratepayers' money on addressing infrastructure concerns regarding the hospital, and it's worth noting that back in 2016, traffic assessment and parking assessment was commissioned by, I believe it was Manx Care, to look into the problems on the hospital site in terms of, as I say, transport and parking. And a number of recommendations were made in that report, and 8 years later, most if not all of those, to my knowledge, have not been implemented.
So that would have been, at that time, the Department of Health rather than Manx Care, because that's obviously only come into being fairly recently. So that's 8 years of inaction on the department's part. Perhaps then that explains why, back in 2016, the minister felt, I suppose we're speculating here, but maybe this is why the minister felt that they could support this project.
Well, that may have been so. Certainly, Minister Quayle, you know, pointed to the fact that it was well known that there were parking issues on the hospital site. You know, so to be honest, it would be crazy to block an entrance to our site and the 70 car parking spaces, because those people are likely to still drive on the hospital roads and then try and find a parking space in other car parks within the hospital. That would be, in our view, you know, adding to the risks rather than diminishing the risks.
Michelle Hayward, when I interviewed her, and we listened to her at the start of the programme, said that the number of parking spaces that were in an initial version of this project had been reduced. Is that the case?
I think we're talking about 4 or 5 parking spaces. And since the revised planning application went in, I think we've gained one of those back. But you've got to bear in mind that during the planning stage, it was agreed that the largest volume of users would be coming to the site potentially in the evening and at weekends, when the large proportion of the hospital clinics, etc., wouldn't be operating. And therefore, you know, we've already had, you know, an agreement to use the spaces in the Palatine in the evening. There was also mention in the statement of case that supported the planning application for the new roadway that we would have access to next door as well, which has got another 73 parking spaces, which was more than the estimated amount for the maximum, you know, usage of our site. So, you know, yes, there are during daytime, you know, there will be pressure on parking spaces, but to say that that alone is a reason for objecting to us using their roadways is I think slightly spurious.
In terms then of, I mean, you are famously a green politician, a big supporter of the Green Centre and various other such things. Presumably that some thought has been put into use of public transport to access this site.
Well, we effectively have buses running past the site, you know, on a half-hourly basis. And therefore, yeah, the hope was that, you know, quite a number of people would use the bus service to get here. Obviously, there is an active travel policy that's supposedly being promoted by DOI and government to actually try and encourage more people to cycle or walk to places. But obviously, we recognise that this facility will be used by people that are coming from slightly further afield. And therefore, you know, the bus service might not be convenient for them, and they're not about to try and walk from Port Erin. So, yes, there will be a certain number of people that come here by car.
Okay, so we've had the tour. We've heard from one of the tenants. We've heard the department's position, and we've heard, I think, the commissioner's position. Many people around the island will be thinking, for goodness sakes, this, you know, there must be a way in which politicians can sit down together and come up with a pragmatic solution that works for everybody.
Well, I feel that the commissioners have done everything in their power to try and sit down and find a pragmatic solution that satisfies everybody's requirements. You know, the thing to remember is that we've never said no to building the new access. What we've actually said is at this time we couldn't afford it because, you know, the money just wasn't there. You know, it's something that we hadn't budgeted for in the initial build project. We had various prices given to us during the phase where, you know, we were obtaining planning permission for it. But those prices, like everything else, kept going up and up and up. So you then start to question whether it's, you know, value for money, or whether when we're told that we ought to be prioritising expenditure, when there was already what we felt was a perfectly good and acceptable access to our site, why would we then have to find another £250,000 potentially to put in a new access road? So, you know, not unlike, you know, the fact that the Department of Health / Manx Care may have not done infrastructure improvements around the hospital on the basis they didn't have the money, then why is it any different from us ourselves saying at the time, not only do we not have the land on which to build it on, you know, we do not have the money in our funds to actually progress the scheme. And we asked for support at the time. We asked for, you know, what we felt, you know, in the grand scheme of things was a fairly minuscule amount of £60,000 from the department to contribute towards the scheme. And to be honest, it was at one stage that it was a member of Manx Care that had said, because it was for our mutual benefit to have the new roadway, it was them that suggested perhaps it ought to be a jointly funded scheme. So it was only later, you know, after we'd said on that basis, yes, we'd proceed, that, you know, we were told in August that the only contribution that the department would make would be the transfer of the land, and that there would be no money whatsoever towards the actual cost of putting in the roadway. Therefore, faced with that situation whereby we still didn't have control of the land, we didn't have any offer of help towards the financing for it, plus we were told there was going to be another 3 months delay in completion of the project, and that obviously had a potential implications for the income that we were going to receive, then in that situation I can't believe that anybody else would have not made the same decision as us, that we couldn't afford to continue with that new roadway at that time.
But at some point, presumably the commissioners would be content, assuming that the department was willing to transfer the land, to solve this problem.
Well, we have said that, you know, if they will move forward and transfer the land, you know, it's annoying that, you know, when they were being asked back in the summer last year to come up with the agreement to convey the land, nothing happened. You know, had that been progressed then, and we had been told formally that without the new road access otherwise would be denied, then that might have changed the situation and we might not be in the situation we are now. But the reality is, you know, back in August, we were getting nowhere forward in terms of getting access to the site, and we were also not getting an answer in terms of, you know, whether or not we would have any problem accessing the site from what was the originally approved entrance. You know, the question was put, and when it was put to the minister, why didn't he tell us? He said, well, I didn't have to.
Okay, that's an interesting answer. So you met with Minister for Treasury, Minister for Health and Minister for Infrastructure. Did you get encouragement from that meeting that perhaps a solution to this, at least a short-term solution to this, can be found whilst the preferred longer-term solution, or perhaps medium-term would be a better word, is developed?
No, to the contrary, actually. We got to a point in the meeting whereby, even though we said that we felt that we were getting to a point where representatives of Manx Care felt that the risks that they had identified could be mitigated, he said that even if Manx Care stopped objecting, he would, on the basis of no other reason than the commissioner's attitude.
Okay, that's an interest. So the he you're referring to there is the health minister?
Yeah, Mr. Hooper, yes.
Okay, well, that's an interesting approach. Let's try and understand some of the numbers here, because a 37% increase in rates sounds like a huge amount. Presumably, that means that there must have been perhaps an overspend in the budget. What can you tell us in terms of the figures for all this? How much was it predicted to cost? How much did it eventually cost? What's the likely or the estimated income that the commissioners are expecting from the businesses? How does all that work?
Well, the project has gone up from around about the 6.5 million, but because of delays, we've got to obviously factor inflation in, because it wasn't a fixed price contract as such. You know, the contractor is allowed to ask for additional money to take into account, you know, price of materials, etc., have gone up. So that has accounted for a large proportion of the increase in expenditure. Like any scheme, as you go along, you sometimes find that what you originally planned doesn't work quite out the way you intend when you actually get on the ground. So there have had to be some design changes to it to accommodate some improvements to the security of the roof, which probably was a good idea given the storms we've had recently, and that's been well tested and didn't blow away. The commissioners themselves decided that there was a few things that we'd actually taken out during the value engineering stage that probably on reflection would have been better to have kept in, such as the seating area, the pull-out seating that is. And also we added the solar panels on the roof, but that only accounts to a small percentage of the increase in the overall spend on the project. There have been obviously prospective tenants that have said, yeah, we'd like to hire the space. However, we want some changes done to the original plans. They will obviously be paying for that through an increase in their rental rates. So again, you know, that may, you know, it might look like a lot of money, but as I say, that will be recouped through income from the tenants. But as you will know well yourself from being Minister for Infrastructure, the way that we operate capital projects over here, you know, there are certain rules that the commissioners have to work to. And when it comes to things like fees, etc., you know, we're rather stuck in a situation whereby we, if the project goes on for longer, you end up paying more, you know. And
which actually seems to most people as quite perverse, because you would hope that the incentive should be to get the project delivered on time.
You would think that, but obviously under the scheme that we have, if the contractor can come up with a justifiable reason for why the project has been delayed, then the project length gets extended, and you know it keeps moving further and further into the distance. So this idea of people saying, why aren't you charging people penalties? Well, the penalties only come in when they exceed, you know, the period at which the project team has said is no longer reasonable. But, you know, so far, you know, all their compensation events have been approved by the project manager, and therefore, yeah, we obviously have to pay on the basis of they were justifiable increases in cost.
So the 37% increase then, we've only got a few minutes left now. What are the ratepayers of Braddon paying for in relation to that? It won't be all this building, will it?
No, because obviously, like every other authority that have had, you know, quite a lot of them have had to increase their costs quite dramatically. You know, there are costs in terms of, you know, salary increases because of pay rises. Then there's obviously increased charges, as everybody knows, from the disposal charge for the incinerator. And, you know, just general inflationary costs. Wherever possible, we've tried to trim back on a few areas. We've had to put the DOI actually on notice that we may not be conducting any more of the transferred services next year, because we just won't have the money. Yeah, you know, obviously we had to make provision for the fact that, you know, we've lost a certain amount of income that we were anticipating. In fact, every day delay in not being able to get the tenancies signed is costing us £1,000 a day.
So in terms then, roughly, what percentage of that increase, is it a third, is it two-thirds, is it half? What proportion of the increase is down to this project?
There's probably about a third of the money that we're asking for this next financial year is down to the additional costs that we've incurred. Yet we'd worked out it was about envisaged that there was going to be about 45 pence on the rates to run subsidise the building. But at the moment, yeah, we're probably running at about a pound. But as I say, as you've said as well, you would have thought that grown-ups should be able to sit down and come to a solution. And at our meeting this afternoon, we did hope that if the department can progress with an agreement to transfer the land, and we make a commitment to progressing with building the new roadway, they will actually withdraw their threat to actually block our access in the meantime.
And, of course, what Michelle Hayward said as a short-term fix has a habit of becoming a long-term fix, but only if the department isn't wise in the way it makes its offer. So if the department says, OK, you have 2 years of this, after the 2 years you have to have built the alternative access, at least you know then where you stand.
Well, that's true. So, you know, it's in nobody's interest as far as we're concerned. Particularly, it's not in the interest even of Manx Care and the department, because any additional costs that we incur because of the delays in getting the tenancies signed will go on the rates. And the biggest ratepayer in Braddon is the hospital. You know, so, you know, it's, to us, it is absolutely ludicrous. And that was one of the reasons why I asked for a meeting with the Treasury Minister, was that it was potentially we could have avoided a lot of the pain for the ordinary ratepayer in Braddon if the department had actually, if they couldn't find the money, have asked Treasury to find a small amount of money to help fund the roadway back in the summer last year.
So subsequent to that interview, Andrew got in touch, and Andrew, you're joining me now in the studio. What new piece of evidence have you uncovered?
Well, we've been searching for the needle in the haystack ever since Mr. Hooper dropped the bombshell on us that he was no longer going to allow us permission to use the hospital roads, and he kept insisting that it was up to us to prove that we had an agreement to use the hospital roads, and effectively he wanted that agreement in writing. Well, obviously it took some time, you know, like searching for a needle in a haystack, and unfortunately he'd been looking for the needle in the wrong part of the haystack. Anyway, purely by chance yesterday I put a different name into the search engine of my emails, and up popped this email that came from the then minister in March 2016 in response to an email I'd said, which in it I'd sort of obviously was being a bit of a soothsayer in the fact that I'd said to him, you know, whilst there may be some form of gentleman's agreement in place, I would far rather have it in writing so there could be no arguments in the future. Well, if only that had been the case.
And then Howard Quayle responded quite positively.
He certainly did. And he said, thank you for your email regarding access rights for Braddon Parish Commissioners to the Strand Cornerfield through the grounds of Nobles Hospital and associated buildings. Whilst access has always been granted by the department to allow the field to be used by the commissioners for social events, I can well understand your need to have a formal agreement. A conveyance of land will be required in order to regularise boundaries following our respective proposed developments. Within that deed, we propose to incorporate the appropriate wording which will grant the right of way which the commissioners require. I trust that this proposal is acceptable, but in the meantime, please accept this letter as authority to access the field when you require to do so.
Gosh, so that really kind of, well, it, of course, what we know is that ministers come and go, and ministers' authority and views change, and that's obviously what's now happened. But you could quite understand why Braddon Parish Commissioners would take the view that they had permissions from the department to access the site via the hospital roads.
Well, to us, a promise is a promise, you know, and for the last 8 years, we have been reminding the department that the conveyances that are discussed and the agreement discussed in this email exchange are still outstanding.
So what do you think? Is this a white elephant or bold ambition for the people of Braddon? Naive mismanagement from the commissioners or stubborn intransigence from the health minister? Let me know your thoughts on the programme by contacting Phil Gorn at manxradio.com. And get in touch if you have any ideas for future shows.
Don't forget this programme is available as a podcast. For now, I'm Phil Gorn, Gunnar Myers and Geistergrom. Thanks for listening.